Welcome to People of Portland and Beyond, episode 21. Got Joe DeMeo here from West Coast Buds Podcast.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
Appreciate it, dude. Yeah, my West Coast Buds was a show that we did about the cannabis world in, you know, Portland and the West Coast. And we recently switched over to doing another show called Brome, which is like bro and ohm. It's kind of a combination of like self-improvement meets Joe Rogan kind of a thing. So that's yeah, what we're doing at the moment.
How long have you been doing these podcasts?
Oh, it started as my Portland Buds like 3 years ago. My West Coast Buds is about a year old, and then Brome is like 8 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And were you guys partying last night, St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, it was my buddy's 30th birthday and St. Patty's Day, so things got a little bit out of hand, but it was, you know.
Any crazy stories?
Nothing too much to report, you know, just the usual drunken debauchery. I mean, you know, the last time we had a house party, there was a lady that showed up as a pirate and started, like, flogging people. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting, but no, nothing like that on a Sunday.
How long you been out in Portland for?
I grew up in Aloha, so I grew up in the area, lived in Boulder for a couple years, and then came back into Portland 6 or 7 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it over here.
When did you start getting into podcasting? When did you realize, like, this is what you wanted to do?
When I was, I used to live in Boulder, and I worked in a cannabis grow-op, and you know, you spend a lot of time listening to podcasts while you're, you know, in the garden. And so that's when I got, like, hooked on Joe Rogan. This was, like, 2010-ish. And then started listening to that and realized that's what I wanted to do. So, you know, got back to Portland and, you know, delayed it a couple years and then finally started to do it.
Have you done any gardening out in Portland?
Have I? You know what? Not since I've been back, honestly. I mean, I used to own a company called The Cannabis Consultant. It's still live, but I don't do a ton of that work right now. So I'll be in the garden occasionally, but I'm not in charge of anything anymore.
What did you used to like to grow then?
Well, I mean, we ran a lot of the Subcool genetics. I don't know if you're familiar with the cannabis scene in Oregon. Familiar, but so he had some stuff like Jelly Bean, and there was an Orange Crush strain that we used to have that we really dug. Some Jack the Ripper. Nice. You know, a lot of the, like, there's that old school '90s genetics that everyone was really, you know, up on, like the original Skunk One and the, you know, AK-47s and all those things. And then there was like a initial period of people breeding like all these, you know, medical home grow strains and kind of trying to improve the yield on them. And then so there was this pocket around 2010 to like 2013-14,
yeah,
where a lot of those really cool genetics were hanging out before everything became like a Girl Scout cookies cross.
Yeah,
like everything now just looks like Girl Scout cookies, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's those were all the things we used to like to rock. And not that I don't like Girl Scout cookies, it's great, but
yeah. And you guys had Katie Stem on from Peak Extracts,
probably. Yeah, yeah, Katie's great.
What did you guys talk about?
We talked to her about starting her, you know, her company and, you know, the extraction side of it as well as the chocolate side and just kind of her outlook on the business portion of her outlook on, like, you know, the business portion of the cannabis world. I mean, she's got a really fair-minded business approach, which was a really cool thing to talk to her about.
Mm-hmm.
How the, you know, the trials and tribulations of getting a cannabis business started that a lot of people overlook. You know, starting a business on its own is pretty hard to do. And then if you add the fact, you know, you can't have a bank account, you're dealing with stoners, all these other things that, you know, can affect the, how well you do, it can make it a lot more difficult. So, you know, just talking about all that stuff, basically, she's a really enlightened lady.
Before Oregon, like, where were you living?
So I lived in Aloha, and then I was out in Boulder for 3 years, and then I came back.
How was it compared living there to here? Like?
So, like, Boulder is, like, imagine if Portland was the size of Eugene.
Yeah.
You know, so in with that college vibe kind of a thing, a little bit crunchier version of Portland, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I used to joke that if you were a girl in California and you asked for a nose job instead of a boob job for your graduation, you went to Boulder instead of UCLA. Okay. But no, I mean, that's like just kind of the vibe. It's like, you know, a lot of Trustafarian kids. It's a wealthy city. So, you know, it's a little bit highfalutin occasionally, but I love Boulder, man. It was just this fun little mountain town. Colorado is, if I wasn't living in Oregon, I'd live in Colorado. I love that state.
Is it difficult to get a place in Boulder?
Oh yeah. Boulder's insanely expensive.
Like San Francisco bubble or something.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, there's a Google headquarters there now.
Yeah.
And with the college, and then they have a restriction there about how high they can make buildings. So they can't go over four stories unless they're a part of the university.
Yeah.
So, yeah, housing is by nature, like, very restricted there. So, yeah, Boulder's is a tough city to find a spot in, but if you can live there, I mean, it's just a fucking blast, dude.
Is it because it's so beautiful that it got so big?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's sunny 300 days a year or something like that.
Yeah.
But I like sunny and cold personally. I mean, I sweat peeling an orange. I'm a big dude. So like, I don't mind the cold. And, you know, the winters are amazing. You're decently close to skiing.
Have you gone skiing in Oregon?
Yeah. I go to Mount Bachelor when I can. Mount Hood, you know, is a little bit more accessible, but I love Mount Bachelor. That's my favorite spot. But yeah, dude, Boulder, like, I can't speak highly enough of it, man. I mean, there's a million good places to eat. The weed's good. Everyone's, you know, outdoorsy and fit and, you know, attractive. It's just a fucking great city, man.
What's your favorite place to eat in Portland right now?
Dude, I love Toro Bravo. Have you been out there?
No.
Toro Bravo. It's off Russell Street.
Okay.
On the east side. It's just like a Mediterranean-style tapas place. It's fucking nice. Money. Suspiciously good wine selection, too.
Sweet.
Yeah. They have a sangria there that is dangerous.
Sweet.
And what about you? What do you like?
There's places around here that, like, I prefer. Angelina's has a Greek hero place.
Oh, yeah.
You've tried them?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Did you ever go to Alexis when it was still around?
No, I wait. Oh, man, that sounds good.
Yeah, the Alexis is the, you know, the, like, pita bread, you know, Alexis, like, stuff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have a restaurant on Burnside right next to the rescue mission.
When was that there?
Oh, fuck. It went away like 3 or 4 years ago, but I'd go there in high school.
Seen it then.
It was funny because the owner was this old Greek guy and he'd come and talk to you at the table and shit and he'd bring us rounds of Orzo. Okay. And I was like fucking 17. I'm like, this is the greatest place in the world. Just bringing me shots. It was great.
What do you like to get at Angelina's?
I do just lamb euro, man.
Yeah, I got the garlic chicken one.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So, dude, how long have you been in Portland?
I've been in Portland about 5 years.
Yeah. Where are you? What, like, where are you from and all that stuff? I don't know you that well, man. New York? These people are watching you and I become friends.
Yeah, New York, actually.
Oh, okay. This seems like a better fit for you, man. You're a pretty mellow cat.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy over there. Subway and just...
I was actually just in New York for the first time ever, like, a month ago.
Really?
Yeah. I was speaking at an event for Revel, a cannabis company there. Nice. They were on my West Coast Buds, and they had an event, so I got to go out and moderate that. It was fucking fun. But, dude, I... Everyone's gonna think this is blasphemy, and I'm sorry, but like, Portland is okay. New York is obviously the coolest place in the world. We get it, but for the amount of effort you have to put into all that shit, like, Portland's pretty fucking cool too. And I don't have to ride the subway. It's not as crazy. It's not as expensive. Like, I don't know, man. New York's great. I'm not speaking ill of it. I mean, I get what I get the appeal, but like, I don't know, man. Like, it's an intense living.
Yeah. There's a situation here, like, I have a garden at Adams Community Garden, basically, McClay Park, by Forest Park, and it's $50 a year, and get 200 square feet and plant whatever vegetables I want, so...
Dude, that's great. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, things like that you can't get in New York, so...
Yeah, that's cool, man. $50 a year?
Yeah, totally. I'm growing potatoes, carrots, I got a tomato plant on the window ready to go, but...
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's a good setup, man. There's something about, like, when you actually grow stuff. Like, last year I did a couple of pot plants, like, because you can have four in, you know, Oregon recreationally. Mm-hmm. And I did them in, like, these big decorative pots. So, like, normally people would put, like, a rose bush or something in there. And they were, like, my decor for the whole summer. And then, you know, at the end of the year, I gave my friends a bunch of weed. It was great.
Is it possible to grow that on the window? Because the tomato plant grows pretty amazing on
the window. Yeah, you can. And actually, what's cool about doing the window pot plants in Oregon is that because the winters get so short with the daytime-nighttime thing, it'll bud out pretty effectively just in your windowsill because it gets so dark.
Unfortunately, this apartment, they wouldn't allow it, but that would be...
I don't think they'd notice. I don't know. I wouldn't chance it, though.
Sometimes they do inspection. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Ah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. And it's annoying, but yeah. It's like the same thing with the MAX trains. I can't stand when they're just like wanting to check tickets. It's just like a bother to me. I'm just like...
Yeah. I mean, like, I get it. They want to make sure that people are paying, but they're also such dicks.
Exactly. They're dicks about it. And the subway is just get on the turnstile. If they see you jump the turnstile, then they're going to be a dick. But that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they should have something like that, like preemptively kind of a thing. Yeah. Instead, I don't know, man. I think they get off on the fucking power trip of it.
Yeah, probably.
Man, like, have you ever noticed it's always like a bicycle cop or a fucking transit cop or someone that's like a step down from real police that are the biggest assholes?
Fuck yes.
Yeah. But then you get to like state troopers and those dudes are just all pissed off that their dicks don't work.
Yeah, exactly, man. They're compensating for something.
Dude, it was funny. One of my last time I got pulled over, I didn't want to wait for the train on NATO. You know, sometimes it'll, you'll be waiting for like 20 minutes. Yeah. And I had a lifted up SUV, so I just like drove over the median and turned around, like pulled a U-turn. And right as I was doing it, a cop pulled me over. And I was like, oh, God damn it. And then pulled over. Cop comes to the window, and it was this guy I went to high school with that was like a baseball player.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen the guy in forever. And he's like, hey, man, how you doing, buddy? And blah, 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 blah. And he's like, the last time I saw you, you were hooking up with so-and-so in the hot tub. And I was just like, this is my new girlfriend. Like, awesome. It was pretty funny.
Pays to be social.
I guess. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's my only real skills. I'm just kind of full of shit for a living.
That's awesome. What else do you do besides the podcast?
So, I've been a real estate agent since I was 18. I still dabble in that. I have thecannabisconsultant.net, where I answer people's questions about how to get into the weed industry. And then the Brome podcast, BROAUM.com, where we kind of give like self-help advice for men. And I have a construction company as well. I dabble in a little bit of everything. I say that ADD stands for I already did that because I just have so many fucking jobs. And like, it's the only way to kind of keep me like sane. I have to be doing a little bit of everything all the time.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
Yeah.
As far as the questions that you get for that, how do you get them? Like, where do you get them from?
I come on stuff like this, or, you know, people listen to the My West Coast Buds podcast and they, you know, say, hey, I want to get in the industry. Yeah. If they have like a basic question, I answer it for free. And then if they want like a consult of how to get into the industry, I charge $200 an hour, or I do like 4 hours for $500 like initially.
Yeah.
And most people come and meet me, and then they decide they don't want to get in the industry. Okay. Because they don't realize like all of the stuff that goes into, you know, being in cannabis. So I jokingly say, like, you know, you're gonna pay me $500, but you're gonna save, you know, $100,000 that you'd lose in the cannabis industry.
Yeah. You know, it's self-help thing though, like
what do you mean?
The self-help.
Oh, the Brome stuff?
Yeah. How do you get the questions? Like, do they get emailed to you or?
So, like, Brome is kind of a, the tagline is seeking enlightenment through deadlifts. So, self-help is kind of an easy way to describe it. It all just starts with stuff that, like, I just think that I used to struggle with or that dudes do struggle with. And then I try and make it approachable. So, like, one of them is, like, your place is gross and how to fix it. Okay. And I just give people advice on, like, keeping their houses clean. Yeah. Or, like, another one that we just did was outlets. You know, because, like, there are so many dudes out there in the world that are all pent up and angry for whatever reason. And they just don't know how to get stuff out.
Yeah.
And so we talk about stuff like that. And it's pretty interesting.
What's your favorite, like, place? Thai food? You like?
Yeah.
Which one?
Pa D.
Okay.
You ever been there? It's on Burnside.
Yeah. I'm just asking every guest because everyone has a different one. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Pa D on 28th or 30th in Burnside.
Yeah.
They have the best duck curry I've ever had. So money.
Yeah.
That place is great. Nice. There used to be a couple good spots on Hawthorne too. What else is good? Yeah, Pa D's pretty good.
This area of Portland, Northwest, like, have you been down here?
Yeah. I used to have an office on 21st and Everett.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to, like, Lansu Chinese Garden right around here?
Yeah, I have. Nice. Yeah, I went there the other day. I always think that place looks like there's going to be, like, an old, like, Chinese man in the basement playing Mahjong and smoking an opium pipe. it looks like a straight-up, like, mafia front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places around here that look like that.
Oh, yeah.
Fong Chong, which closed down and is now that... On the corner, I don't know if you passed it.
Yeah.
It's now like, what is it called now? It's like, it's supposed to be like a Hooters type. It didn't work out. I think it was open for like one day or something.
Dude, that's, yeah. Well, it was funny. There was, where was it? There was that one place, Poseidon or whatever on Burnside that used to be a strip club and then opened up as a seafood restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, my buddy Ian Carmel used to have a bit about that where he was like, dude, you can't be a strip club and then a seafood restaurant. Like, for one day, you have to open up and sell calendars. Yeah. You can't go, like, straight to seafood restaurant from strip club.
Yeah, seriously. But there, a lot of the places have lunch specials. I mean, there's, like, a surf and turf special right over at the strip club up the street.
Oh, which one?
I forget what they were. Club Rouge, maybe?
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Dude, have you been to Acrop?
And Acropolis?
Yeah.
I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've been there.
So the running joke about that is, like, everyone says they go to a strip club for the food. Like, that's the excuse that, like, men will use and all that shit. Really? Okay. So Acrop is known for its steak. because the guy literally owns a cattle ranch. And so that's thought awesome. It was a joke, right?
Yeah.
No, they will give, it's a thin cut ribeye so they can finish it on the flat top, you know, right? They're not trying to broil it or whatever. So it's a thin cut of ribeye, but it's a fucking good ass ribeye for like $5.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the prices are good for the, what they're offering.
Yeah, dude, they give you a stack of Texas toast, you get a ribeye, see some titties. It's not a bad day, man. I mean, it's the not, I don't recommend being that dude as a personality, but like, if you have to dude out, it's not a terrible place to do it.
Yeah, seriously. It gives you a reason to go in there like $6 for the lunch special.
Yeah, dude, it was funny because we were drunk in there one night and because they open at like 10 or 11 in the morning and we looked and they have a dozen egg omelet for like $10. I'm like, dude, if I start coming to this place for breakfast, like that would be the official start of my downturn in my personality.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a bar for breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do that.
I think Kelly's has a $3 breakfast special or something.
That's not a bad situation, man. There's a couple good bars where you can get a decent breakfast in Portland. It's actually near you, so if you're ever in the mood. Yeah. My favorite breakfast in Portland is actually the Dockside.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on NATO. Dude, it's this old greasy spoon diner that's just like totally, you know, just innocuous, just like an old diner. Fucking great ass food. And it's cheap, reasonably priced. All the breakfast stuff is named after the bridges. It's cool.
Do you ever cook at home?
Yeah. Yeah, I cook a ton.
What's your go-to?
Dude, I like making steaks for people. Steaks, pasta. I grill a lot.
How do you like to cook steaks?
I do just sear and then broil it in the cast iron.
So 1.5 minutes each side.
Yep. Yep, and then bake it at 450. I do salt, pepper, chili powder, garlic salt, and then I put a little bit of lime zest on my steak. A lot of people don't agree with that one, but no one has ever had a steak from me and regretted it.
How long you bake at 450?
450 for 6 to 7 minutes, depending on how thick it is. So I do a nice medium rare, get it to like 125, 130.
What kind of cut and where do you get it?
I do ribeyes. If I get it, more often than not, I'll do a ribeye. Sheridan Fruit on MLK.
Yeah.
One of my favorite spots. Apparently that dude's like my second cousin that owns it.
Okay.
I had no idea. Like my grandfather passed away. My dad was like, hey, we got to go to Sheridan Fruit and get stuff to make pasta. We were making pasta for like 80 people.
I see that place all the time.
It's a great spot. Okay. And it's like, so I just went in there and like this guy was straight up sitting at a checkered tablecloth drinking vino in the middle of the afternoon. And my dad's like, hey, it's your cousin. I'm like, all right, fuck it. All right, man. Yeah. So I go there. Allegedly, I'm keeping it in the family, but it's a good spot. What else is good? There's that one right next to the Zipper. And Sandy, there's a, on 21st, there's a good meat market as well. But yeah, Sheridan Fruit's probably my go-to. And then I'll do the ribeye more often than not. Skirt steak is shockingly underrated for cooking. People I don't think people give skirt steak enough credit.
Did you try pizza in New York?
Yeah.
Do you think it was really good or?
I thought it was good. Yeah.
So where's your go-to pizza place in Portland?
Oh, okay. So I'm a Sizzle Pie man myself. I love Sizzle Pie. But the best pizza in the city is Pizza Jerk.
I haven't even tried Pizza Jerk.
Pizza Jerk is fucking money, dude. I mean, it's deep on the east side. I don't know if you drive or not, but like it's off Killingsworth, I think. Yeah, like 45th and Killingsworth. Pizza Jerk is fucking incredible. You can go in there again. Bread checker tablecloths. The bartenders will give you a good cocktail. They do cast iron pizzas and regular pizzas. Fucking money. Love Pizza Jerk.
Have you tried Baby Doll Pizza?
No, where's that at?
It's not that far from here. It's like a mile or two, but like it's like you can't get it delivered but it's over the bridge, but it's really good, man. I think it's southeast.
Oh, right on. Oh, dude, another one for you because you're in your neighborhood. Yeah. The fucking pizza place attached to Dante's. Shockingly good slice of pizza.
The one with the pizza window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you would not. I used to do comedy at Dante's every week. Uh-huh. And you have a couple cocktails. You want a little piece of pizza. That pizza is one of the best slices in the city. I put it up there with Sizzle Pie.
Mm.
Yeah, it's damn good.
So you used to write comedy sets?
I used to do stand-up. I still do. I'm taking a little break from it right now while the podcast is kind of blowing up. I mean, Rome is getting bigger faster than we expected it to, so that's really kind of taking over my life right now. But, I perform at Harvey's and a couple other places around the city a lot, and I've been doing it for like 5 years.
How long would a set be usually?
It depends where I'm at. I mean, I can comfortably do 25 to 30 minutes, you know.
So you write down new material like every year?
Or? No, I just, as stuff comes up, I'll just, like, that was funny, I'll write it down, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. Like, just as it happens, man, you know.
What's some of your favorite stand-up comedians?
Joe Rogan, Bill Burr.
I was just going to say, man.
Yeah, Bill Burr is, like, I love Bill Burr. He's fucking great. Patton Oswalt. I love Eliza Schlesinger. Who else is really funny? Yeah, of course, as soon as someone asks you that, you run a total blank. Yeah. Sebastian Maniscalco, I love him. Who else is really good? Brian Callen, I enjoy them. But yeah, I think Bill Burr is probably like my main dude. That just because he's so fucking angry.
Yeah,
because comedy is like a catharsis for me. It like gets all the rage out kind of thing.
What about Ari Shaffir?
I fucking love Ari. Do you listen to Skeptic Tank?
I've been listening to every episode and going back and back and back. Like, I love his show.
Oh, dude, he has a... It's a couple years old now, but there's an episode where he talks to a guy that works at a safe injection place in Canada. Yeah. And that is it's just a random dude. He's not a celebrity. About, like, you know, the safe heroin places in Canada. It's so interesting. Yeah, and all of his Shroomfest episodes are pretty good, too. I like those ones.
Yeah. I've originally listened to Joe Rogan podcast. Then I ended up seeing, you know, Joey Diaz, Ari Shaffir eventually, and then I just listened more to Ari Shaffir than. But I was watching Rogan today. A couple of guests on live.
I love Rogan. Rogan's great. Ari cracked me up. I've met Ari a couple times. Met Joey when he was in town with my ex-girlfriend, and he called her my secretary and put her on. He was like, yeah, whatever, brother. Let me talk to your secretary. And put his arm around my girlfriend and walked away. I was like, all right, Joey Diaz. Yeah, man, I love all those dudes.
Nice.
Wow. Do you like Bert Kreischer?
Yeah, I've been watching his podcast too.
Yeah. Bert's hilarious. I've got a couple shirtless photos with Bert. He's an interesting cat.
Sweet.
He's a good dude.
Guys, you think you'd ever get him on the podcast?
I mean, hopefully, but he's pretty busy right now. He's kind of blown up at the moment.
You guys have guests on frequently?
We do. So we've had like Elle Stanger on. She's known as Stripper Writer in Portland. She's a very big Portland personality. And then we had Stella Harris on. She recently wrote a book. A few other people, it just depends on the topic, man. You know, if it's something that Ben and I feel confident that we can tackle ourselves, then we do it. If it's something that we feel like we need kind of more of a nuanced opinion on, you know, we try and make a point to, like, acknowledge that, you know, we don't know everything kind of a thing. Yeah. So, like, with Elle, we were talking about open relationships. Ben and I are not in open relationships, so obviously we wanted to talk to someone that knows.
Yeah.
With Stella Harris, the topic was called Kink 101, An Introduction to Your Freaky Side.
Yeah.
And it was basically just saying, like, hey, man, if you want to try some shit out, go for it. But, you know, you don't want to just hear two dudes talk to each other about perverted stuff. So you got to bring, like, you know, an informed, attractive lady on to, like, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Stella was fucking great, by the way. Elle's amazing, too. I'm not picking sides, but I will say Stella was incredible. Really cool lady.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you guys aren't afraid to go into XXX territory?
Well, I mean, it's not like a porno podcast, but no, for real. Because, like, it's just the idea is that. It's funny because we do all these topics, right? Like that sound like that up front, and then almost all of it ends up with coming back to just being an effective communicator. I think that's the biggest thing kind of facing dudes right now is that like we don't really get taught how to communicate effectively to one another.
Right.
You know, you get this example of like a big stoic dude or a hard ass guy or a total pussy, and you don't ever really see anyone that kind of rides that line in the middle. Mm-hmm. Of like, no, I'm not a dude that you can fuck with, but at the same time, I do have feelings. And also, like, you know, please take me seriously kind of a thing. Or like, hey, what do you need? Just talking to other people.
Yeah.
Like, no one tells dudes to do that shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Do you agree with people using the words alpha and like those whole online message boards about where they go crazy about that?
Well, I mean, so like alpha and beta, I think more often than not, people fall somewhere in a grayscale on that. It's not so black or white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds like you're talking about like those incel dudes and like is that kind of what you're getting at?
The bodybuilder forums where they're like, yo, I'm an alpha and this guy's a beta bitch and all that.
Oh, well, so I mean, those guys are douchebags.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. It's like, again, so I came to Brome with the idea that I grew up in Portland where it's so liberal that every time I had any kind of a dude thought, I'd basically get yelled at for it.
Yeah.
Right. So I came at this with the idea that there were a lot of dudes in liberal pockets that needed permission to feel like a guy, not realizing that what was actually happening is there's a ton of dudes out there that are really dudish that need permission to have feelings. And so it's kind of cool that like I'm coming at it from the opposite side of a lot of the listeners. And it's helpful either way, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, so, dude, if you're a guy that's running around shouting that you're an alpha, you're probably not. You know, I mean, you may be big, you may be tough, but you're also way overcompensating for some shit. Mm-hmm. Everyone that I've ever known that's a truly bad motherfucker is a silent dude. Or is a dude that isn't constantly telling you how tough he is. Yeah. You know, like those guys don't feel the need to shout that shit for the most part. Now, there are big, giant, capably violent dudes out there. Like, I'm not saying, and I guess that by nature that makes you an alpha. It also makes you a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
So, but then there was also total pushover pussies, you know, and like, I'm not going to say that you should. I mean, if we're going to give dudes that are running around being aggressive assholes shit, we should also give people that are going to be so passive and play this victim role shit too. Like, yeah. You have to take a certain amount of responsibility for your own life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that they're effective for some people, but more often than not, people fall in the middle.
Yeah, I just always thought that using the word alpha, which is, applies to monkeys, is crazy. And
it is.
Just,
it is.
Just say a guy with confidence. If you,
I like that. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know, I don't describe myself as alpha, but if I heard someone describe me as beta, I wouldn't be stoked about it. Yeah,
exactly. You don't want to be called a beta, you know?
Yeah.
Who wants to be called a beta?
No, no one does.
Exactly.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's like I said before, I mean, you... You can go and do a deadlift, and then you could also read a book about effectively communicating with your significant other, and it doesn't make you any less of a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those. Have you read any of those, like, incel forums or any of those things before?
I've just kind of grazed it a little bit, and I just, like, saw what an incel was basically a year ago. And it was
fascinating. Dude, I heard about it because my friend Wednesday Weiss is a stand-up comic, and she was telling a joke about him.
Yeah.
That is a group of sad dudes. Like, yeah. For real.
And I was just like, it sucks to get labeled as an incel. I was like, you know.
I think it sucks worse to be one.
Yeah. there's people that are proud of it, though, is what you're saying?
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that in the slightest.
I mean, I do believe that there's people that are just, like, on their computer all day. And yeah, but, like, I don't know. It's, like, hard to tell, like, how far it goes.
I don't know, man. Again, we kind of talk about this a little bit on the show. Like, there becomes a point where people decide that there's nothing they can change, or that they don't think they can change something that they don't like about their life.
Yeah.
So then they go on the offensive where they're like, oh yeah, I choose to do this or I choose to do that. You know, like, and in reality, they would like the situation to be different, but they don't think that they can change it. So, you know, the psychology is to be like, oh, fuck that. This is what I want to do, kind of a thing, which I'm going to call bullshit on that. No one wants to go through their whole life without ever getting a blowjob.
Yeah.
Like, no one does.
No, I don't believe that either.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's their deal? Is that they're angry at all women or something?
That I haven't delved into it completely. We're gonna do an episode about them sometime soon, just because like I want to. Like, okay, I don't. This is gonna be like saying Candyman three times. Like the emails we'll get from those angry fucks will be they'll be spectacular.
Yeah.
But no, I'm just like I. If a dude is fucking angry and that, like, has that much evil pouring out of him,
yeah,
like, I'd like to see that dude get a little bit better and then find someone that he could have, like, companionship with. Because eventually, like, if you feel rejected on a romantic or emotional level constantly, it kind of makes sense that eventually you're going to turn into a fucking nutcase.
Yeah.
And if they can listen to the show and then, like, maybe figure out how to be slightly less abrasive and maybe just a 10% more fuckable, and eventually someone will touch their penis and they'll stop, like, plotting to bring down the government in their basement. Like, that's better for the world. It just is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't really know the psychology behind it. They're an interesting group of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You ever played a musical instrument?
I've attempted to learn the guitar like 7 times and I always quit.
Really? What stops you?
My hands just don't want to listen. I don't know. I don't have the patience for it.
Guitar?
No, I haven't.
Maybe that's what you should try.
Try some bass?
I think you'd be fit for a bass. I don't know.
All right. I look like a bass guy?
You do, honestly.
Would I be the guy with the bass that's way up high or way too low?
I think you do too low.
Maybe. Too low? Okay, I like it. I like it. So I look taller. I like it, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Allergy season. Jesus.
No problem.
So how long you been doing the show, man?
Mid-December, actually. Not too long.
Right on, man. Yeah, man. Like, is mostly YouTube, or is it mostly online, or like, or streaming, or?
I just started YouTube actually, not even a month ago. So
nice.
It was on audio, but just started live streaming now, and
hell yeah.
Now, at first, I think I was just pretty much OCD about the editing.
Yeah,
and just like editing out every space and every and everything, basically, which was nice and tight and neat.
Yeah.
But it was too time consuming. And I think now I'm just focusing on a more relaxed, raw kind of vibe.
Yeah. Poor Ben does the editing. He has to edit out how many times I say motherfucker. So.
Yeah. So you guys are trying to go into the non-explicit section of the podcast?
It's not even so much that. It's just like, you know, just. I was just making the joke about how much I curse, but honestly, like we try and make the reason we edit is not so much to change the content, is to make it more receivable.
Yeah.
You know, Ben adds music, and then we really try and create a narrative that makes a little bit of sense. So tangents are fun and you can get a lot of gold out of them. However, they can detract from the point, and we really do want people to learn something from every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sincere. I mean, I had someone the other day tell me that, like, the show needs to be, which I never would have thought that. She's like, someone needs to tell all these dudes out there, like, some of the shit you're telling them. Like, women can bark orders at men all they want, and they're not going to receive the information. Like, and this is a woman telling me this. I'm not saying this is my opinion, but she's like, it's a good thing to have exist in the world. So, like, I never would have thought anyone would have thought that about some fucking podcast that I did. But it's cool, and it seems like it's helping people, so it's exciting.
Yeah, man. How has it grown? Like, how?
Dude, we're doing very well, man. I mean, like, the amount of people that are coming on the show each week it's going up, you know, 10 to 15% every week, nice. Which is crazy. You know, we're getting good emails from people. We've kind of built, you know, a solid base. You know, we're only like 9 episodes in.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So it's coming together really well. I mean, this is my third attempt at a podcast, so I'm happy to see it like actually getting some degree of traction.
Yeah.
You know, and then we reach out to other podcasts like yours, and then we just, you know, try and, you know, get me on as many things as possible. I try and answer questions for people. And I just try and really engage. I just try and really engage with the people that are listening. You know, people have sent us a handful of pretty intimate questions, and Ben and I will actually take a minute to write them like a well-worded email back, not just like the obligatory thank you. You know, as people have shared some really intimate stuff with us about, you know, like thoughts of suicide, or, you know, how we did an episode on my West Coast buds where we were just bored of the weed stuff. So we did an episode called How to Talk to Women, which sounds like pickup artist shit, but it's not. It was literally just like how to talk to people, basically. Mm-hmm. But if you put how to talk to women, dudes will pay attention. Some guy came into the dispensary and told us that he had a girlfriend now. He was like, I took you guys' advice and I talked to this girl. Now I have a girlfriend. I'm like, that's fucking great, man.
Yeah.
And he was like super happy about it. Like, I don't know, man. So it's just cool. Just taking some time to help people out.
How have you found, like, promotion-wise, that it is most worth it? Either Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter?
Twitter seems like it works kind of on its own. I mean, like, so, I don't know. People seem to come. There are Twitter people. I'm not a Twitter person.
Yeah.
So I can't speak on that platform. Instagram works fairly well. Facebook is the best for long-form audio format.
Yeah.
Yeah. People on Instagram and Twitter are thinking 1 minute. Small things. It's a small platform by content size. Facebook, you will see people share 15-minute videos. It's uncommon, but they will. So a 45-minute podcast is a slightly different ask of people than, you know, a 1-minute video.
A lot of people discover the podcast through the dispensary?
They used that was kind of a thing. Like the My West Coast Buds one, I was just kind of so ingrained in the cannabis industry that kind of helped grow it. And then also cannabis by nature doesn't have a lot of outlets for media because a lot of people won't work with cannabis. Okay. Like, you know, conventional media won't.
Right.
So they needed me.
Yeah.
And then with the Brome podcast, that's kind of more, you know, feet on the ground trying to hustle and make it turn into something kind of a thing.
You ever been in Northwest Cannabis Club?
Yeah. I've performed there actually. Nice.
Performed what?
Did stand up there.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good time. My friend Amanda said it best. She's like, you know, I like performing for drunks because drunks want to have a good time. Stoners have questions.
Yeah.
She's like, I had a guy raise his hand during my set. He's like, that's not how this works, bro.
They're paying the same competitive rates as like a normal stand-up place? Or?
Dude, you don't get paid dick to do stand-up. It's ridiculous, okay. Man. Until you're, like, famous, man, you don't get paid shit. Right. Like, it's like, here's $10 in a bar tab, if you're lucky, uh-huh. For the most part.
You guys monetizing with the podcast?
The podcast is doing well. I mean, we've got a couple offers right now for people that want to sponsor. And we're just being, I mean, we're fortunate enough that we can be kind of picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because the listenership is so engaged and the listenership is so engaged. Our platform is growing in a way that works for people. And then because it's like an advice style show, people kind of think that if we sponsor something, our audience is more likely to, like, you know, take it seriously. But that's why we're being picky. So, you know, when we get a sponsor, we want to make sure that we can stand behind it and say, like, hey, this is actually a product that we think would be good for everybody.
Plan on doing a Patreon page?
Yeah, we have one right now. Nice. Patreon.com/Broam, Broaum.
Very cool.
Thank you.
The other podcast or just Broam?
Just Broam. Just Broam. My West Coast Buds gets monetized through the cannabis consultant. So, mm-hmm. You know, if people hear the website, if people hear the podcast and reach out to the website, you know, I'll get a little bit of consulting work through that and then it makes sense.
What did you think about that whole Patreon controversial situation?
I'm unfamiliar.
The guy, Jack, I think, the owner, Jack Conte, mm-hmm. had basically let some of the white supremacist guys go. Maybe Alex Jones or something like that. But guys like Alex Jones, because they didn't want him spreading, like, all this crazy information.
I don't agree. Okay, like, you're never going to sound like a smart dude when you, like, advocate on behalf of Alex Jones. So I'm not doing that. I mean, I think that guy's kind of a wacko.
Yeah.
And then you hear him get stoned on Joe Rogan, and you're like, he seems like he's kind of fun. But he's a fucking crazy person, right? And then there is a danger to hyping up idiots. I don't agree with any white supremacists.
There's going to be people out there that believe it.
Exactly. I don't agree with any, like, the white supremacists, like, thoughts at all. I don't agree with any of that stuff. I do think that, like, people are pretty quick to, like, label right-wing people white supremacists.
Yeah.
And or, like, calling him a Nazi, like, before. Oh, it's like, no, dude, this is just a conservative guy. He's probably a little bit racist, but I don't know if he's a fucking full-blown Nazi. I still don't like him. You know, so I don't understand this, like, middle ground that, like, actually, here's my thought on this. I think that if you have a business, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it.
Yeah.
So if that means banning white supremacists from your Patreon site, fine. And if it means that you don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple, fine.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So the white supremacist people can make their own version of Patreon. And then if people want to support white supremacist pages in a Patreon style thing, then they can do that, like, on a separate platform. Someone else will go out. They've created a niche in a free market where that's okay. And if I find out that you won't make a cake for a gay couple, then fuck you. I don't want to get my biscuits here. You know, like, I that's my honest take on it. Like, anytime anyone tells a person that owns a private business what to do, that fires me the fuck up. Because it's so hard to run a business. I've probably started 10 businesses in my life. And the reason is because I can't handle a boss. So if you're going to come in and find the one place where I can say whatever the fuck goes and then people are going to try and tell me what to do, I can't handle that shit.
Yeah.
So that's my – if this was edited, we'd jump straight to that. But no, you watch me figure that out. But yeah, that's honestly my take on it.
Freedom of speech covers, you know, the planet Earth. But the internet – there's no place on the internet that covers the Constitution, right? I mean, you can't just say, like, oh, I'm allowed to say whatever I want because the internet was never concluded, right?
Well, I mean, they say the freedom of the press.
It's like, is there any website that's not privately owned, though? That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
I don't know, man. I think you should probably wait until you have a smarter guest on and retouch on this. I mean, like I said, Patreon, in my opinion, is a business.
Yeah,
it's a genius business model.
Every website is.
I mean, I'm Italian. I love a good VIG. Okay. So Patreon is just like, hey, you're going to make some money. Well, give me a taste. Because, like, they gave people a platform.
Yeah.
They take a percentage, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's also like, I don't know. Well, brother, dude, it is 5:10 and I have to get rolling. But thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, man. It was fun.
Yeah, dude, it was a really good time, brother.
Cool.
If you guys are interested in checking out Broam, it's Broaum.com. This week's episode is about how to make friends and connect with people. So as I came on here and was terribly awkward, I'm certain they're going to believe that I know how to do it. No, but all bullshit aside, we had a guest reach out. We did a How to Talk to Women episode, and he was just like, well, how do I make friends? And it was just a very sincere email. Mm-hmm. So we tried our best to explain that.
You guys going
to
do a Tinder episode eventually?
We are. We're going to, that's going to be in an episode that also includes us talking about thirst traps.
Okay.
So we have that one coming up too. We have an episode about what it's like to work in the weed industry coming up, how to follow your dreams, how to get a job, an intro to cooking. Yeah. Nice. All kinds of good stuff.
Cool, man.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the time, man. Thank you. Yeah. For having me.
Yeah, man. See you later.
Yeah. Have a good one, brother.
I remember when I first met you. I just thought that you were so special. Now I wonder why did you go? I thought you were here to stay. Not like a mother, not like a friend. One day you'll feel the weight in your heart. I want to start and you want to end. Give you my heart and you just pretend. Fire. Soon as you get burned, turns out you're a liar. Your affections are unknown, and I'm swimming in the fire. 'Cause I never quite learned, but you had such a good story, and I had just lost a role. Looked at you and you look so real. You're just poop, it's not even built yet. You can't love what you don't see. Love is what you want it to be. I remember when I first met you. I just thought that you were so special. I remember when I first met you. I just thought that you were so special. Now I wonder why did you go? I thought you were here to stay. Wish you'd stay and make mac and cheese, but you come and go as you come. I want to start and you want to end. Give you my heart and you just pretend. You're running from the fire. As soon as you get burned, turns out you're a liar. Your affections are unknown, and I'm swimming in the fire. 'Cause I never quite learned that you had such a good story.